There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This episode is sponsored by Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. Upcoming featured entertainment includes The Steel Woods on April 26th and Little River Band on May 3rd. Details and tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Today is New Kids on the Block Day, as tickets go on sale to the group's show at Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland on August 16th. I spoke to founding member Joey McIntyre about the band's biggest hits, from Hangin' Tough to Step by Step. Hey, Joey McIntyre, hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Great to be here.
And we're talking because on this day, 35 years ago, I guess it was April 24th, 1989, April 24th is declared New Kids on the Block Day in Massachusetts. So you all are doing a pretty cool 35th anniversary celebration of that with a special ticket offer to the August 16th concert at Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland.
The cool thing about, you know, this tour is we haven't been outside under the stars in a long time. I mean, we've been in arenas, and so it feels like a throwback, you know, to do these, you know, what they call sheds, these outdoor arenas. Mm-hmm. And Meriwether Post, you know, that venue is beautiful. And we are excited. We have a new album, you know, coming out May 17th. And, you know, of course, we play all the hits from back in the day. So it's a good mix of then and now.
Absolutely. I like how you call it the outdoor sheds.
Yeah, that's an industry. That's an inside baseball term. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, that's I think it's hilarious. Yeah. Yes. But as you said, Meriwether is a legendary spot. And it's going to be the Magic Summer Tour outdoors under the stars for. Yeah, it's going to be cool. And you have some pretty special people with you. It's like Paula Abdul, DJ Jazzy Jeff. I mean, that's going to be a nice nostalgic throwback there to like the.
Oh, absolutely. We've been lucky enough to work with Paula before. And she really is a legend and everything, you know, you'd want her to be like as a fan. She's just so positive and bubbly and gives the best hugs. And, you know, she's a total pro. So to have her on the road is amazing. And DJ Jazzy Jeff, you know, if you don't love DJ Jazzy Jeff, you got issues.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? I think last time we spoke to the band, I talked to Jonathan Knight in, I guess, 2021 when you're doing the mixtape tour at Capital One Arena in DC. And I think then you played with Salt and Pepper and Rick Astley and In Vogue. Yep. Like, how did that one go with those legends?
Amazing. I mean, we were able to, the last few tours, we've done the mixtape tour. And what's cool about it is we kicked off the show and we ended the show and in between, and we put all these acts, you know. We had so many great acts. It's like, oh, no, you don't have to open. You don't have to whatever. We're going to tee you up. And like the acts come in and out. So it's one big team, you know, and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's one of the best parts of, you know, being in this business is to get to work with people.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely. Well, let's whenever I have someone on, I always love to sort of, you know, remind them of sort of the band's backstory and how you all, I call it your superhero origin story. Like, how did you all form in Massachusetts? I know you were like the youngest member. And so sort of like added after sort of towards the tail end of the formation. But like, didn't the rest of the guys meet in like elementary school? And then Maurice Starr, who is New Editions producer, sort of decided they suggested they add you as sort of a younger, you know, like a little Michael Jackson kind of a guy. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, that's roughly kind of the vibe. Donnie was the first guy in there and met Maurice like we all did eventually. And you know, Donnie was just, you know, his spirit and his desire to work with Maurice, you know. And he really hung in there. And then he finally said, I got to get some more guys. And then he just went back to you know, his buddies that he grew up in school with, and knowing, you know, Jordan and John sang in the choir, and, you know, Danny was his buddy, was breakdancing, and it just kind of put it together, like, much like any teenage band, you know. And then I was doing theater like a couple of neighborhoods over, and at the time, you know, I was like 12, which is the big difference between 12 and 16. And so, you know, there was a big difference. They wanted that little guy. And I just happened to be the right fit and hang in there. And the rest is history.
Did they, being the youngest, did they ever, you know, did you ever feel like you were getting picked on, or did you just idolize them so much as like big brothers, or how'd that dynamic work being the youngest?
It wasn't easy. It was not easy. It was not easy. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, we all have our struggles and challenges, and, you know, yeah. I certainly had mine, but we hung in there.
I love it. I love it. Well, obviously that first album, New Kids on the Block, came out in 86. I think you toured with Tiffany, and it was that sort of, you sort of became household names. But I think the second album really was the really huge multi-platinum one, Hanging Tough in 88. What, that title song is so catchy that, you know, whoa, right out of the gate. We know it. We can sing it. But why do you think it worked so well? Why was it such a smash, man? Like an anthem.
Well, you know, timing is everything. It was our fourth single off that album. And Please Don't Go Girl was top 10. Right Stuff was number 3. I think I'll Be Loving You Forever was our first number 1. And then Hanging Tough came. So it was a good timing to kind of have that like party record. And like, you know, it had a sports theme to it, because originally, you know, Donnie and Jordan and John, I mean, Jordan and Danny, kind of wrote that with Maurice, and they wanted just like an anthem for the Boston Celtics. And it ended up being like an anthem for us, and certainly a huge part of our discography, if you will.
Ah, I didn't realize it was an anthem for the Celtics. I didn't realize that. All right.
Well, we wrote it. We wrote it and with that in mind. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Wow, cool. Then, of course, the next album was, you know, Step by Step, and 90 was another huge, the title track on that was huge. How did you guys get the idea to sort of do it where each of you guys sort of sang a different, you know, part of that? I know, what is it, Danny sang Step 1 and Donnie was Step 2, Jordan was Step 3. You, I guess, came in on Step 4, and then Jonathan closed it out singing Step 5.
Yeah.
Do you remember how the idea came about to break it up like that?
Well, that was... That was a song from a Boston group that Maurice wrote it for, the Superiors, actually. And we would do some shows. And then when we blew up, it was basically a cover. You know what I mean? It was a cover song. We grabbed it. And one thing that was different, though, was the steps. Step 1, Step 2. And I discovered recently, we kind of rediscovered stuff. You know, people host different interviews, and I think Donnie pitched the idea of going through the steps the way we did.
Gotcha. Well, however it came about, it was massive, man.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts, and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Well, I know the group, I guess you like officially disbanded in like 94, but thankfully reunited in 2008. Why do you think, I'm trying to think, I think when we talked to Jonathan, he said he might've been the first to sort of to bounce, but like, why do you think that was like why did you break up? And I guess more importantly, how do you think it benefited you all to have sort of that time off so you could come back, you know, stronger than ever in 08?
Well, we certainly didn't break up thinking we were going to get back together in 15 years. So that was not the plan, although in retrospect, you know, it was the only way it could happen. You know, we for a lot of reasons, we were ready to do different things as individuals. We were super young. you know, we wanted to have some freedom after 4 or 5 years of nonstop, you know, hysteria. And it was a lot of fun, but like, you just wanted some space. And the music, you know, had changed, our taste had changed. You know, by the time 2008 came around, we knew we had to do it on our own terms. You know, a lot of people wanted us to get back together, and it was usually for, you know, their award show. It was about, it was never because of, you know, us and us doing it the way we wanted to. And then we finally were ready as a group. And, you know, by then, you know, our fans had grown up and had, you know, careers and families, and they needed that getaway. And they needed, you got to be at a certain point in your life to look back at all the nostalgia with an open heart. And you know, timing is everything, and it worked out.
Yeah, that, and by then there's probably a whole new generation of fans. What's it like? I mean, because people probably come up to you guys and say, like, I had your poster on my wall, or I had your doll, but now they're, you know, their parents bringing their kids. They probably passed the doll down to their kids. But is it wild that you have, like, you know, multiple generations coming out now?
It's very cool. I mean, you know, we historically, you know, our fans' parents, you know, one of the, you know, sort of elements to how big we got back in the day was that, if you ask me, it was the first generation of parents that did anything for their kids. Mm-hmm. Like, they would drive all over the place. They would, you know, buy the tickets. They would wait outside like that. Their parents didn't do that for them.
Right.
You know, but like, our fans' parents were unbelievable. So now now we have three generations in the audience, because then you got the moms who are now the older moms who are grandmothers. Then you got the moms, then you got the young kids. And it's fun. You know, it's really fun. It's cool. I mean, the idea is to make music that lasts. And so now kids can find music, you know, at the drop of a dime. And you know, you look at a lot of acts that have been able to keep it up, and why not us? You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And you really have, do you take pride that you're sort of that quintessential boy band? I mean, when you say that phrase, I mean, I guess obviously, you know, before there was the Jackson 5 and then New Edition, like we mentioned before,
yeah,
obviously, but like,
yeah,
for like the modern era that we're talking about, like,
yeah,
late 80s into the 90s, like, you all paved, yeah, the way for Boys to Men and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and 98 Degrees. And I guess if you keep going, you know, One Direction, Jonas Brothers, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw the success of all those bands, are you able to sort of step back and be like, wow, we sort of pioneered all that?
It's genuinely cool to be a part of pop history, like, firmly. Yeah. That's really, after that, you can't quantify, oh, we did this and this is how much important we were, and we did, you know, without us, blah, blah, blah. It's like, to be like an honest to goodness, like, cog in the wheel of pop music and this thing called a boy band is very cool, you know, to share, you know, the camaraderie, you know, all these different bands that you appreciate and like, and certainly New Edition is our heroes. They always were, they always will be. And to just be friends with them and to, you know, collaborate with them a little bit over the years is a dream.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I know we're up against the clock, so maybe we'll have,
great,
to sort of rapid fire this final rapid fire one. I'm going to mention, just throw out your group mates and just nothing embarrassing, but just praise them. What makes them great? Like, why is Jonathan such a crucial cog?
John, if I could pick a BFF in the group, it's John. And that's a miracle, because dynamics in the band, the reason why bands don't stay together is, it's a lot and it's hard. And like, we butted heads over the years, but like, the miracle is that, like, we stayed together long enough and we appreciate each other for, and he's been so sweet to me and loving, and I'm super happy for his success, you know, with his show and what he's doing and his passion. So BFF would come up. All right, the next one. I'll try to rapid fire from now.
No, that's good. That was a sweet thought. All right. How about Jordan Knight?
Jordan's the Zen master. He doesn't have to say much. You know, he just leads with his you know, by example and with his actions, and he's super funny. We laugh the most, Jordan and I.
Love it. Danny Wood?
Danny is the soldier. You know, he's like that foundation, you know what I mean? He's fiercely loyal to the group, and he's a good guy to have in a dark alley, you know what I mean?
I love it. And Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, I mean, he's a born leader, you know. He's a born leader, and he always says yes first to an idea, you know, because he just loves creating and loves taking chances.
What'd you think when you saw him in The Sixth Sense, man? In the he's the reason that the Haley Joel saw Bruce Willis as dead people. I mean, he made him the dead person. Yeah. So that was so creepy and so good.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, you know, I'm happy for him and the work he's put into his career, his acting career, and it's certainly paid off. And yeah, I remember when he was losing all that weight, he was sleeping on the couch in my apartment in New York and just kind of really going method with it. And, you know, he did his thing.
I love going method. So he was actually seeing dead people in real life.
Well, he's not the guy who saw dead people, though.
Well, actually, no, I think he is. I think that was why he's tormented. And that's how Bruce Willis sort of figures it out later on. I think that kid was also haunted when he was younger. Anyway. But all right, finally, you, what would they say about you? What would they say about your plays in the group?
He shows up. He shows up. You got to show up in this business. Yeah. And, I can be very opinionated and, vocal about how I feel about things. But at the end of the day, I show up and I give it my all.
Well, thanks for showing up in this interview, Joey McIntyre.
Thank you.
Again, everybody, New Kids on the Block are coming to Merriweather Post Pavilion on August 16th for their Magic Summer Tour. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate this.
All right, man. Talk to you. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.